He wouldn't stay in the bunker by himself. He followed the man back and forth across the lawn while he carried the plastic jugs of water to the bathroom at the rear of the house. They took the little stove with them and a couple of pans, and he heated water and poured it into the tub and poured in water from the plastic jugs. It took a long time, but he wanted it to be good and warm. When the tub was almost full, the boy got undressed and stepped shivering into the water and sat, scrawny and filthy and naked, holding his shoulders. The only light was from the ring of blue teeth in the burner of the stove.
"What do you think?" the man said.
"Warm at last."
"Warm at last?"
"Yes."
"Where did you get that?"
"I don't know."
"Okay. Warm at last."
He washed his dirty matted hair and bathed him with the soap and sponges. He drained away the filthy water he sat in and laved fresh warm water over him from the pan and wrapped him shivering in a towel and wrapped him again in a blanket. He combed his hair and looked at him. Steam was coming off of him like smoke.
"Are you okay?" he said.
"My feet are cold."
"You'll have to wait for me."
"Hurry!" He bathed and then climbed out and poured detergent into the bath water and shoved their stinking jeans down into the water with a toilet plunger.
"Are you ready?" he said.
"Yes." He turned down the burner until it sputtered and went out, and then he turned on the flashlight and laid it in the floor. They sat on the edge of the tub and pulled their shoes on, and then he handed the boy the pan and soap, and he took the stove and the little bottle of gas and the pistol, and they went back out and across the yard to the bunker. They sat on the cot with a checkerboard between them, wearing new sweaters and socks and swaddled in the new blankets. He hooked up a small gas heater, and they drank Coca-Cola out of plastic mugs, and after a while he went back to the house and wrung the water out of the jeans and brought them back and hung them to dry.
"How long can we stay here, Papa?"
"Not long."
"Well, how long is that?"
"I don't know. Maybe one more day. Two."
"Because it's dangerous."
"Yes."
"Do you think they'll find us?"
"No, they won't find us."
"They might find us."
"No, they won't. They won't find us."
Later, when the boy was asleep, he went to the house and dragged some of the furniture out onto the lawn. Then he dragged out a mattress and laid it over the hatch, and from inside he pulled it up over the plywood and carefully lowered the door so that the mattress covered it completely. It wasn't much of a disguise, but it was better than nothing. While the boy slept, he sat on the bunk, and by the light of the lantern, he whittled fake bullets from a tree branch with his knife, fitting them carefully into the empty bores of the cylinder, and then whittling again. He shaped the ends with a knife and sanded them smooth with salt, and he stained them with soot until they were the color of lead. When he had all five of them done, he fitted them to the bores and snapped the cylinder shut and turned the gun and looked at it. Even this close, the gun looked as if it were loaded. And he laid it by and got up to feel the legs of the jeans steaming above the heater.